It's been a long time coming with this special webcast that I've been thinking about doing, and I'm glad that I took my time with it and eased up. Got an introductory scripture that I'd like to use as a title for this particular webcast, and it's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. O young man, in thy youth, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, in other words, God is saying, but you know this, that for all these things, you know, you walking in your own way, seeing it your way, not listening to anybody else. Listen to me. Listen. That God will bring you into judgment. Now, this is what I'm going to start off with, because you know I'm seriously this summer getting ready to start a series of lectures for young men, and a special Bible study for young men. I am going to cover some things. I'm not going to do this series like I've done any other series with young men. I'm just going to let them know that in your finding yourselves in this new world that you're living in, that if you have a place in your heart to believe in God, that God is going to bring everything into judgment. Everything into judgment. That's what Ecclesiastes 11 and 9 is telling us. God is going to bring everything into judgment. He's going to judge everything you do. I find it extraordinary. I find it extraordinary that today's young people can do things that when I was a young man, and it was quite rewarding today, because a young man came by to visit me. It didn't come by to visit me, but came by to visit one of the young men staying here, and he's in college. And I was having a conversation about his classes, what he's doing, how he's expanding his intellect, and how he is not to be pigeonholed into one thing. What was excellent with me is that the young man listened to me as I was trying to educate him. I find that that is a wonderful thing. If you're a young man, and if you're going to sit through the series of lectures that I'm going to do, I'm not going to give you the information if you have no intention on following the direction of a person that knows what they're talking about. Not because that person isn't necessarily living like you, because I'm not living like all the young men. I'm talking about survival. I'm talking about survival. Let me tell you what I was sharing with some young people last night. It was interesting as I think about developing this theme, these musings that I have that I want to share with young men. You aren't going to have a family. You aren't going to have a life. You aren't going to have history, tradition, anything, unless you come back to the old school ways to do it, because the new school way of doing it is not a relationship. It is not at all. It leads to futility, foolishness. I see it with older people all the time, with older adults. Older adults trying to be dumb, trying to be young. Young and dumb, and you know the rest of that. And when you find an old person chasing after that, especially an older woman who is out for that. I mean, it appears like in this society today, and I have to really watch it, because, you know, if I don't watch it, I get caught up into that myself. I want you guys to listen to me, hear where I'm coming from here now. Hear where I'm coming from. It is so easy. It is so easy for a young man to get caught up, because there's not an older man there to check him. See, when I was growing up as a young man, even when I was in the Army, the Sarge was there. Sergeant Kemp was there to check me. You understand? When I was in boot camp and I was doing some things that I thought that I had the right to do, Sarge would come in the morning and turn me over with the bunk. Sarge would tell me that if I did not correspond to his instruction, that I would not graduate with the rest of the troop. There was something that men did. Even the military was different. We didn't have a bunch of women walking in a man's barracks telling a man to get up. It was a man telling a man that. Because when the young man listened to the older guy tell him that, there was a line of respect that he saw and that he understood that he had to respect that. That is gone with this young generation, completely gone. They have absolutely, and I mean this with my whole heart, absolutely no respect for tradition and authority at all. So how do you win over a group of individuals like that? And I want to tell you who screwed up, you parents that had this brood of vipers screwed up. Your parents did this. And I'm just not talking about people that are around me. I'm talking about the whole generation. Because I meet them and I talk to them all the time. Have you ever talked with a youngster? Number one, they don't have an intention to live over 25, 26 years old. I was talking with one young man and he told me that he was going to go somewhere this summer. And I said, I'm so happy to hear that. So happy to hear that, because you can, in a way, look out for the other guy and everything. And it's the kind of thing that you want to hear from black men. If you are with another black man, you got his back, but you have to stay sane to the degree that you won't find yourself drifting. Young people have a way of drifting and they don't want to listen to reality. But that verse again, Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. In other words, be happy. I was telling a man today, I says, man, it must be great to be in your early 20s. I remember that. I recall it like yesterday. It was like a light coming on. It was wonderful. I never thought that I would get to be the age that I am. That's one of the reasons why I cut my hair off again. I cut it off. I'm tired of looking at gray. It is so depressing. It is. Especially when you talk with other gray-haired people. There used to be a time when I spoke with gray-haired people and I was encouraged by what they were saying to me. I was encouraged about the hopes and anticipations that they had for the future generations, for something that was going on. Now, the only thing that they're thinking about is this carbon commodity here going to make money? That is not the essence or the gist of life, is making money. It is not it. Let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and walk in the ways of your heart. In other words, God is saying, go ahead. Go and do what you feel is right. And here's another thing that I've discovered. They do what they feel is right. They don't even know whether it's right. And then when you try to tell them that it's wrong, they have an argument to shut you down because they believe that in their creating reality, that whatever they say, and this is the most dangerous aspect of young men today in this country. They have a pragmatic view of reality. In other words, they create reality. Give you an example. It's the mentality of, you want to be a rock star, you got to think like a millionaire. I remember my friend used to come by and he used to wear this badge on his chest, this thing that he pinned on his shirt. I'm a millionaire in training. That's what he used to say. I looked at that and I wondered when he would take that stupid thing off. And he did, of course. So you ain't no millionaire in training. What you need to do is to decide whether you're going to get up off your behind and get a job and go to work every day and work at something and become a part of a decent society instead of trying to make a whole bunch of money off somebody else's back. I'm sorry, but that's not the way I was raised when I was taught about success. So young people have this pragmatic thing and they believe that it's going to work. Well, the only thing that I can say to respond back to that, because when I start putting these sly things together for the guys, I'm going to say talk is cheap. And talk coming from a brother these days is the cheapest talk show in town. Don't talk. Show me. No, I try to tell people, I think, you know, when it comes down to, some people think that I do webcasts to address issues. You know, they, he's doing the webcast. He must be going through something. Hey, people, if I was going through something, I'd tell you. I'm not going through anything. I'm going through how to keep my hand in my pocket. Shoot. Because I'm telling you, when I'm in the streets of Los Angeles, and seeing some of these youngsters and hear the way they reason, I recently know a man that got him his own place, and one of the first things that I asked him before he got his own place is, can you afford that? Have you counted the cost? And he's just further getting behind, because you know why? Because of their pragmatic view of reality. They can look at something and say, I want that, instead of saying, but where is the means to make that happen? How are you going to make that happen? See, because, and that's where young men are today. They have no, the only way that a young man can learn how to make something happen is to watch another man that has already accomplished something and to find out from him, how did he make it happen? Because really, in essence, you're not going to do it in any other way. The world works the same way for everybody. It is the same. There is no secret formula for anyone to be successful. I was talking with a friend of mine, and I think he has a wonderful business. And I was telling him, I'd like to work with you in your business in order to make your business far more successful than it is, because he can't do it by himself. And I'm saying, if this business can become profitable, I'm willing to put an adequate amount of time in that, and you just cut me a check now and then for the administrative work that I do for your business, because it has a lot to do with computers and stuff like that, and I'm a little bit better than him on it, you know, on things like that. But you see, when you're a man and you're working with another friend of yours, you aren't going to work and try to take what's his. And try. You see, that's another thing about young men. It's selfish. What Christianity does, Christianity puts the Spirit of Christ in your heart in whatever you do. Now, when I'm talking about the Spirit of Christ, don't tell me that the Spirit of Christ would not have a discussion about marriage. Yes, he would. Don't tell me that the Spirit of Christ would not have a discussion with you about what is immoral and what is moral. Don't tell me that the Spirit of Christ will not convict you to the degree that you can know exactly where you have failed God and how you failed God. I know that the Spirit of Christ can communicate that to us. But here necessarily what I'm talking about is what we gain or glean from the Word of God. We ought to make that applicable or applicational to our lives on a regular basis. That's what a young man should get from an older man, instead of trying to pick up the pragmatic things that work because they think it works. See, and what's another thing? Man, there's a whole list of things. Loyalty. Young men are not loyal to anyone. Oh, they say that they're loyal to their friends, but it's total distrust. I, you know what? I guess to some of my older Christian friends that has children and grandchildren and things like that, listen, let me share this with you. Take some time and listen to these people, and when you listen to these people, you will know by the void in their lives that something is missing. Shadow faxing, man, I'm telling you, you know, I just, that phone call was a young person calling for another young person. Okay. Young person calling for one of the young men that stays here. And I think that these webcasts are so timely because they, you know, give me an opportunity to think things through. Why did that person say what they said to me, and I had to keep explaining to this person, I don't want to hear about what you have to say. I would just tell this person that you called I don't want to have anything, because my mind doesn't go there, to tell the truth. My mind doesn't go into insane places. I'm not saying that it doesn't go into insane places all the time, because if you know me, you know I do. But I'll go there on my own, and I'll go there where I can get out. But young people today have a tendency to play games. Let me give you a scenario of what this phone call that I just got was about. This one person told this other person, okay, know what my interacting with you is all about. The other person said that they knew. Now the other person is calling back, trying to make that interaction more than it is. Somebody's lying, and somebody's confused, and somebody's going to be hurt. You think I'll ever get involved in anything like that with people? All this stuff that's going around here, people are slinging it everywhere. And I would try to tell a young man, know when somebody is slinging you a line of crap. Now, I'm talking as a Christian, because we as Christians think that because we are Christian and that we are, now listen to what I'm saying, that we are guided and restricted by a moral calling that is beyond the moral calling of the non-Christian person. The non-Christian person cannot follow the moral restraint that we Christians follow. We Christians have the same drives, the same manners and behaviorism as the non-Christian do. But if God has called us, now here's where the non-Christian would say, I don't believe they call you. That's all right what they tell you. But if God has called you, we know that there is a limit, that there is a line drawn in the sand. This line must be reestablished in the lives of young men in our inner city communities. It must be reestablished. And it can only be reestablished as older men like myself come hard on these youngsters. I mean, like Flint, if we're going to do anything, because I've tried all the other means. And, God is marvelous, guys. Show me so much stuff since the year 2007. Just in 4 years, what he's shown me. And you know what? It's finally dawned on me. I know how to rear and develop and successfully nurture men that are going to make the difference in our society without them being a bunch of evangelical crackpots. Because these young men today will not go to church, will not listen to some pastor type, especially a man that is so unreal. You know, it's like me talking with the young man, and when a young man gets to be a certain age in his life, he is going to have the propensity to want to hook up with a woman and to be that way on a regular basis. That is normative for us Christians to tell these young men, well, you're not supposed to have those kinds of desires. You crazy. Can't tell a young man that. Can't tell a young woman that. And remember, this new generation has been living like that and corresponding with each other like that since they've been in there before their teens in some cases. And my God, what I'm learning about young people today is that law, you guys get me on this, these young people that are not Christians have no regard for law. None at all. As a matter of fact, when I mention law to them, they don't know that they breached it. What I won't let it happen is I won't let no breach of law happen around me in my presence. I'm not, you know what I tell somebody all the time? I ain't going to jail with you crazy fools. See? And I want those of you that are listening to me to know this. Know, and I'm not talking about anything in particular. I've been putting this webcast on hold for a long time because I told you guys and gals, if you want to listen in, because I think it's profitable for you to listen in, especially those of you that are looking for men to be with. Because these men don't know how to be men today. They don't know how to make a decision unless they ask a woman. wouldn't dare ask no woman to help me make a decision. Make a decision on your own laurels. Stand upon it. Kind of look at myself, you know, because I'm not the brawler type. You know what a brawler is. You know, the Bible calls a brawler that a pastor cannot be a brawler. A pastor cannot be a person that's fighting with people physically. I will tell the truth. I use terrible language when I get upset. Terrible. I shock myself. I will be beaten with many stripes for the language that I use at times. I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm not trying to say pray for me on that. I just need to stop that mess. But when the masculine trait comes out in me, it comes out like that, real strong. And you know what? I know where I'm living. I know where I'm raised. And check this out. I have never said this on a webcast, but I'm going to say it for the first time. I have been in the past. Listen to me. Listen to Pastor John. Those of you that think you know me. I have been in the past that nice guy. Nice guy. I'm the nice guy. I'm always doing it the right way. What? Go to school, get my degrees, pay my taxes, love my neighbors, kind to everybody. Give of myself forever. I have always done that. The nice guy. Have you ever heard the old adage, nice guys finish last? Well, I've been finishing last since 1967. Because that's how long I've been a Christian. And I know that when you're in this life as a Christian, you're going to finish last when it comes to competing with worldly people. We will be last. So I want to talk to you believers, relish in your position in the last place because you're not going to be first. I try to tell that to young men about Christianity. They look at me and say, now, why would I follow that? And simply put, and that is easy, because God is in control. And since God is in control, you can never lose, whatever place you're in. But here again, they don't have a compartment in their mind to handle that kind of evangelical confront. See, that's it. See. When we go to the Ecclesiastes 11 and 9 verse, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. In the sight of your own eyes, but you know this. For all these things that you're walking in, God will bring into judgment. See, God is going to manipulate, if you will. I like to use that term. God will manipulate the situation in such a way, and I want you men to listen to me. It's important for you to listen. Because when things don't happen the way that you think that they should happen, and they should happen the other way, that is God manipulating the situation. The Christian man doesn't mind God's manipulative processes because he knows that he is not his own, that he is bought with a price. Now, you mention that to a non-Christian person, they don't know what you're talking about. What are some of the difficulties with the young generation? And this is what I've learned. A lot of them will tell you right up front that they believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, they'll tell you that. I believe in God. Yeah, my whole family believes in God. I went to church. Man, I'm no sinful man. I believe in God. I believe in, do you? You cannot effectively say that you believe in God. Meaning that you have faith in God working out his will in your life. If you, listen to me, young men and women, if you are working in any way against him, I'm not going to share the incident, but I'm going to share the situation, but I'm not going to share who is talking, because it's none of your business. And I think that they're great living illustrations. I overheard someone speaking, and they were speaking about robberies that had taken place in homes. And I overheard the conversation, and I blurted out an answer, and I said, well, you know what that person needs to be? The person needs to be locked up and suffer for the crime. And well, the person that was telling me that went on to share with me that the person that was robbing was a relative, that the whole family knew what was going on. So I asked the question, did the family turn him in? And I said, well, no. Did the grandparent turn him in? Well, no. And this person is robbing the grandparent, doing all that. And I'm saying, wait a minute, hold it. Because this person got your blood in them, because this person, I said, wait a minute. Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm saying, this person is totally depraved. This person is a decrepit, wretched, twisted, backwards sinner. And I asked the question, when is somebody going to bring about judgment in this person's life? You know how difficult that conversation was for those young people? Because in the pragmatic view of reality, there is no judgment. Now let's see what this phone call is all about. I guess it's sometimes better not to answer at all when you hear Pastor John picks up his phone in person, right? And, I get a lot of those in this office. I get a lot of, I'm gonna call and ask PJ, like the other call that I got before, asking me a question. No, you ain't got no business asking no question about stuff like that. Don't call here doing that. It's a fail-safe move. You cannot exist BSing somebody else. And I think that's why relationships are so messed up, because ain't nobody trusting anybody. And love today like it was back in the day, boy meets girl. You got to make sure that the libido was not engaged in that, because when boy meets girl here, all they think about doing is exchanging body fluids. There's no love for the other individual. There's love to use the other individual, use them up in any way that you can. They have this attitude, I ain't got nothing, and what I have, I ain't going to spend it. You're going to spend yours on me, and then you're going to be happy with the smile on your face as I lure you into doing that. This entire generation has been raised to think like that. When I came up, that was called unscrupulous activity. There was a moral thing put on it. Let me give you a good example. And I think, we can sum it up like this. And I don't want to come across so evangelical and so Christian that I'm out of my mind. In every society, there are men and women. You better know it. That's how the population increases. The man gets with the woman gets with the man. They have a baby, and that population increases. Every 10 years, you got a new generation coming up. I'm sure that between the year 2011 and 2019, there's going to be so many people born on this planet and born of this generation, and God only knows what their offspring is going to be. Now, the ideas, the traditions, the thesis that once developed a society that used to hold some moral constraints in a position are gone. Those moral constraints have been taken away. I was watching a movie the other day with one of the young men here in the home, where it was talking about Woodstock. Talking about Woodstock, I think, was a movie. And it was how the creators of that Woodstock movement in the 60s got together and put the thing together with the money and how it became free and how people from all over the country went there. And I had a great opportunity to share with one of the young men as the movie was playing, because I came up to him that day and age, and I remember all of that. I remember all of that craziness, everything that they did. And I was telling the youngsters, did you know that during the time when Woodstock, that practically everyone went to church on Sunday morning in this country, especially in the big cities, the churches everywhere, the black community everywhere, everybody went to church. Now, when Woodstock came, now you got the young people not going to church, and they going to a field, getting loaded, taking drugs, having sex with everybody. Back in the early 60s, freedom is what they called it, the peace children, flower children, my generation. Now, when you weigh that generation and see what they have done, see what they have procured, see what they have reproduced. Because whenever you look at a young person, you're looking at somebody, mom and daddy, that made them, that went to bed with each other one night, either a frivolous attempt at spewing ejaculate fluid from both ends without being concerned about the human being that they just spawned, and then not even considering the fact, wait a minute, listen to me. They don't even consider the fact that they are responsible for their own behavior, let alone their own children's. There used to be a time in this country, young men, you listen to me, there used to be a time in this country when a girl was pregnant with your baby that it froze your butt. And everything got right. You got a job. You worked. You said, yes, ma'am, no, sir. You were fearful about not taking care of that baby. You had butterflies in your stomach when you thought about it. When the girl told you that she was pregnant, you didn't tell her to go and get that thing aborted. Why would you do that? That's a human being now that God created. Well, I don't believe it's a... Yeah, I know you don't believe it is. Your entire generation just believed that you're a piece of manure scraped up off the sidewalk somewhere. You see, when you have that kind of idealism about what life is, and then you talk with somebody old school, happens to be a Christian, happens to be a pastor, and kind of a pastor that'll just say things right to your face because he know you're nuts. And you know what I also find about these young people, they try to talk you down, you know. They try to, man, don't ever try to talk PJ down. Don't ever, please, because I'm not going to stand for it. I just say you out of your damn mind. You don't know who you talking to. And then quiet is kept by telling y'all ain't got nothing, no how. You can't show nothing for your lives. But nothing but what is it? Consumerism. It's quite different when young people grew up in this country, because when young people grew up in this country, they were thinking about a career. They weren't just thinking about a career for themselves to make money. They were thinking about a career for the community, something to enrich the community. You know, as I talk about various things during these times together, as I bring up this subject matter for young men, I'm going to talk about our leaders. Who are our leaders? Who are the people that appear to be leaders in our community? Who are the, not the young men, who are the middle-aged and older men that is speaking for our communities that can stand up and say, you know, we need to come back to some moral guidelines, man. And don't be talking about what your nature is. I know what your nature is. It's fallen. And I'm not going to try to tell a dude not to do what human nature tells him to do. I'm telling you that there's consequences for everything. And, you know, there are some people out there that just don't want to take a roll in the hay with you and be left holding your baby that you're not going to take care of because you're going to go out and do it again. And you got a lot of scandalous guys like that. And if you're that kind of guy, you're not going to make it listening to my lectures, because I'm going to call you some scandalous whore. That's all I see you as. I don't care what your intentions are. You're a scandalous whore. Treating women like that. And some of you women that allow some of these guys to treat you like a whore, do you know how you look to people like me? You look like a scandalous, dirty whore. Now, that is because I came up during a day and age where principles and fabrics of life were defined. They were characterized. The younger generation today has this idea, nobody can judge me. I saw one young lady, whew, I don't know her name, thank goodness for that, sprawled all over her chest, only God can judge me. I looked at her and said, no, baby, I can judge you too, and I've already judged you. To make a statement visibly like that on one's chest, tattooed, that can never come off. Do you know what this human being is saying to you? I am going to do and say and be some things for the rest of my life. And don't you even attempt to stop me. No, I'm not going to stop you. But I will quote this verse to you. Rejoice, O young woman, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. And walk in the ways of your heart, young lady, in the sight of your own eye. But you should know this, that for all those things that you are, God will bring you into judgment. You see the key there? That's all we have an obligation to tell people as Christians. That's all you got to do. Now, when that makes them upset and that upsets their conscience, that's why God made them human beings, and he gave every one of them a conscience. Now, they may come across to you older people and say, oh, that old archaic religion, that don't mean nothing. Don't nobody believe in God anymore. Yes, they do. You know what? You're not with these people when they go to bed at night, when they're crying in there, saying, oh, God, help me. I can't make it. I feel like killing myself and all that. I don't feel like I did. Yeah, there was a time when I considered suicide. When I went through a lot of ministry thing, when these Negroes start doing the crap they do, I thought that my whole world was going crazy. Until God gave me enough wisdom and years to slow up and look at these lying hypocrites that come and align themselves with Christians. For what reason? I don't have the slightest. Because lest God call you, nothing's going to happen. That's the way that works. You know, I try to tell people all the time, if God did not call you, then the whole thing is worthless. My goodness, my neighbors are walking their pit bulls down the street. 37 minutes and 43 seconds into this webcast. Thank you. You're listening to Pastor John. You've either come to my website, johnecoleman.org. As a matter of fact, I got a letter from a lady that goes to Fred Price's church, and she emailed me from her YouTube page today and said, you're still badgering Price and you will never. I remember this woman from going on 25, 30 years ago who was going to Price's church, and I told her she was following a blooming heretic. Well, she must have found my website and find out that I done all these YouTube clips, and so she came against me. I didn't even answer. I just left her alone. She got some crazy YouTube clips where she's trying to make herself pretty and dance. Yeah, right. So I'm doing the same thing I've always done. And the people that notice it are saying, you're doing the same thing you've always done. That's all God wants of us. Thesis. Don't create anything new. There's nothing new out there. I like the way the preacher put it, there is absolutely nothing new under the sun. Nothing. I remember when your president was talking about change 2008 and everybody got all excited and everything. Man, I was telling them people there's nothing. The church didn't hear me, especially the black church. They didn't hear it. Man, we got a chance to have a black president. You think your situation is going to change because the president is a black man? Your situation is not changing. If it didn't change under the white man, what makes you think it's going to change under the black man? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Wow. Let me wrap this segment up. I don't want to know what you think about what I'm talking about. I only want you to think about what I'm talking about. I don't want to know what you think about it, because whatever you think about it is just going to be your opinion. Now, the way I'm going to handle this series of lectures coming up, it'll be words. Like, let me give you a hint. Like integrity. One show will be on integrity. What is integrity? Another one will be on relationships, which will start off the question, why would you want a relationship if you are not ready to get serious and tell the girl the truth about how many people you laid up with and how many you planning to? See, there it is. That's why when we have these discussions amongst men, I'm just going to say, come on, let's start playing with this. Your family's not going to be positive. You're not going to make it in business life. You're not going to be successful in anything that you do if the reason for you doing that is anything but totally legitimate. Totally legitimate. We'll look at other subjects matter. Happiness. What makes you happy? Smoking? And you know what I'm talking about. What makes you happy? A little too many cocktails at the end of the day? What makes you happy? How about this? Does this make you happy? Thinking about you? Thinking about what you are supposed to do? Obligation. That's another word. Are you obligated to bless anybody's life except for being a stupid consumer? A lot of things. So each show will be run by a theme, and the theme will guide the discussion. And I'm thinking a good 30 minutes for a theme. It doesn't matter. I don't have to speak that long. I've been speaking over 41 minutes now. And it doesn't have to take place through this medium. So continue to listen. This was the first one. And I've said an awful lot, but I want you not to get discouraged. I want you to continuously come back. But know this, that there's a time when I do expect some of you to have an interaction back with me about what is going on in terms of this. Do you believe that it is impossible, it's the only feedback that I want from you, that it is impossible to live this life? Do you believe that it is impossible to live this life? How can I word it? What can make you fail living this life? That's what I want you to attempt to answer. What can bring about failure in your life? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the commodity, the thing? It's very important. And with that, I'm going to leave it alone. Not quite an hour. I'll be back next time. Just wanted to spend some time and take it with you as I reason these things together. Come now, let us reason together. Remember Ecclesiastes 11:9. You know what? Did you ever look at Proverbs 7:7? I'm sorry. I don't want to end up unless I read this. And behold, amongst the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding. And in parentheses it says, the youths are the sons. You know what? Look at Psalms chapter 119 and verse 9. It asks a question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is found in the second part of that verse. By taking heed thereunto according to the word of God. And the young man brought another. Yep. Wow. by taking heed according to God's word. Now, is that too difficult or what? Thank you for listening. This is Pastor John. I do want to hear from you guys out there. I want to hear from you. Let me know.